Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Indorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Pat's, and Father Charles Schonk, a third parochial vicar at St. Patrick's. We have lost a priest there. And our pastor, Father Stephen Alcott. Now, one thing, let's start in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In
the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As priests, we get lots of people that come to speak with us about roadblocks in the spiritual life that they consistently find preventing them from going deeper and loving and knowing Jesus Christ in their life. And we were going to talk about some of the really common ones and advice that we typically give to people in that situation. So this is general advice that may or may not apply to you, but it might be helpful to people looking to strengthen their friendship with Jesus Christ. One that I get an awful lot in this modern culture is people having trouble not viewing inappropriate things on the internet. So what I assume the rest of you get that question quite a lot. What is some of the advice you give to people in that situation? Father Stephen?
Well, I think first it's important to think about the situations that lead you to fall and to think about how you can lessen those. I mean, that's part of the classic advice, removing occasions of sin, and to think about are there ways in which you can just limit your screen time? Are there ways in which you can limit your screen time to times in which you're in a public place and times in which you'll be less likely to go to the wrong places? Or is there a way in which you can there's actually accountability software out there where you can set up an accountability partner with with another person so that they'll see all the places that you go, all the addresses that you go. Just those are just different options that have helped some people.
And I found in general that if you're facing a vice, a sin that you fall into quite a lot, and you want to fight against that sin to build up the opposing virtue, then it's important to pray about a plan to have, like to think about, well, why do I always fall in this sin? What are the circumstances or situations or moods that lead me to fall? And how can I rearrange my life? How can I plan out to fight that? And having that plan and then relying on grace to fulfill that plan is very helpful, because if you just have this vague desire to change, but don't get specific about what do I need to do to actually change, it's really unlikely that you ever will change and grow in your spiritual life. Father Jerome, any ideas?
I think it's really important to look at, like what you're saying, what are the near occasions of sin? And when someone thinks about that, you know, they might think, you know, alone, you know, in my room at night or something. I mean, like, just that's good. You should definitely start there. But also on a deeper level, I mean, just look at your whole life. And, you know, if someone's doing anything excessively, whether it be drinking excessively or, yes, viewing inappropriate things on the internet, or maybe viewing appropriate things, but excessively, like just on Facebook for hours or whatever it may be. If there's anything that kind of takes a form, maybe not of an addiction, although that's possible, but it's approaching that even, there's always underlying that some kind of imbalance. It's an excessive pursuit of pleasure or release. It's a kind of escapism or something. Like, what are you, why do you turn to this form of escapism consistently? Or why do you have the desire for this that you know is wrong and that fills you with guilt and, you know, that is not worth it. And you know that. What makes you, what draws you to this? And usually, always, there's going to be something that is underlying that. It's good to get to the root of that. And a lot of times, one thing I'd look at is like, look at your whole life. What is the negative feeling that you're trying to escape? So is it loneliness? Is it like you're really stressed out and maybe you need to think about reorganizing how, like if you can, like, is there a way to minimize that in your life? But like, look to the roots of it. Like, what are you trying to escape from?
And a good one with stress is exercise. That's frequently helpful. Another thing to pay attention to, and this is useful in general, is how much media do you use, like television, especially with commercials, because commercials work by inflaming your passions, making you desire something. And I'm sure everyone's had the experience where you're not hungry at all, but a commercial comes up with your favorite thing, a juicy burger or pizza right out of the oven or tacos or whatever. And all of a sudden you think, oh, I want that. And you're not even hungry. That desire has been placed in you. And so leaving your soul open to media for extended periods of time will allow that media to elicit desires from you and can lead you into bad places if you don't guard your soul from just the world streaming in through your eyes.
Yeah, I think, look at your whole life and look at how you're falling into consumerism in general. I think, Father Boniface, that's what you're getting at there, is that what are my habits of consumption? Is my life all about consumption and filling myself up? And then also, you know, we tend to think in purely negative terms, how can I avoid this or that? But what's much more effective is pursuing the good, you know, not just avoiding evil, but pursuing the good. So whatever is good in your life, you know, whatever takes you out of yourself, helps you to love God and other people, try to focus on that and build on it. And that'll give you less time to fall into bad habits. And it will gradually train you to look outside yourself for real, genuine goodness.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I really like that, Ed. And one way to look at this is not only you should look at what are your occasions of sin, definitely, but you should also look what are the occasions where you don't sin? What are the occasions where your mind, your heart is so occupied that you're just not tempted as much, that you're not as likely to fall? That, and many people find that when their mind and their life is occupied in a good way, they're just not as tempted. I mean, that's just part of human nature. Like, I mean, in extreme form, like if someone is trying to escape from the 15th floor of a burning building, you know, they're probably not going to be tempted, you know, toward lust, you know. Their mind is filled with one thought, and that is survival, you know, getting out. So, but, you know, but in a lesser sense, if our mind is filled with things that are...
Don't set your house on fire.
Not a good idea. If your mind is filled with things that are not necessarily only holy things, well, that's great, but even just good, ordinary things, you know, like people find that they're not as tempted. I mean,
and it's good to fill your life with good things that divert you, that occupy you and keep you from going to things that aren't healthy. But it's also useful in a tactical way that if you find yourself in a moment of temptation, if you have a hobby or an interest, it's good. Instead of just sitting there and trying to white knuckle, say, I'm not going to give in to this temptation. I'm not going to give in. Go do something else that is good. Go to your hobby. Go to your interest. And that will occupy your mind. You find it interesting. That's why you chose it. And that can help you to move out of that temptation. White-knuckling things is rarely an effective strategy in life.
I think one thing, if there's like, if one thing that is extremely helpful, I know has been really helpful for a lot of people, if you're trying to do all these things in general, but in the moment of real great temptation, you know, yeah, you might have a hobby or something, but it's not as interesting. Like, it's not, you know, yeah, it's not going to work. Like all the stuff in that moment of emergency, none of that stuff works. The thing that is helpful to a lot of people is to have like an emergent, one or two like emergency contacts that you can just call and say, a friend who you can say, hey, I'm really experiencing a great temptation right now, and I need your help. Can you pray for me? Maybe we could pray together. That is the, I mean, it takes a lot of humility to do that, but God greatly blesses that. It probably the other person may be, you know, have those temptations as well, so it helps them as well. And as an emergency tactic, I think that's you know, alcoholics, that's one of their big things. They have a sponsor, and when they really have a temptation to drink, you know, they call their sponsor, like in that emergency. That's helped thousands upon thousands of alcoholics stop from going spiraling into, you know, what could take their lives.
Mm-hmm. All right. So another issue, question that frequently comes to us about roadblocks that are preventing them from going deeper in their friendship with Jesus Christ is people who are struggling with issues of resentment or anger, unforgiveness. These are all connected things. We live in a culture that really plays up anger. All you have to do is turn on the TV and you have talking heads yelling at each other. Mm-hmm. And also in our own lives, as you live closely with your family, it's easy to grow resentful, bitter, angry at each other. And these are all opposed to charity. These habits, actions, vices lead us away from Christ. So how can we build up the virtue of becoming peacemakers, of forgiveness, of love for those God has put into our life? Any strategies?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Well, I think it's important. I tell people, it's first of all, that anger in itself as an emotion is not a sin. Anger simply as an emotion is an ordinary reaction to something that is unjust or unfair. Someone is not giving us our due, or someone is not giving, giving the due to someone else who we care about. So the fact that we feel angry in itself is not necessarily a sin. Where the sin comes in is when we've exhausted all that we can legitimately do to try to make right that unfair situation, and we go further. You know, we go for revenge, or we nurse a grudge, or we turn it in on ourselves. So I think it's important to know what's actually happening, and then to realize that, you know, that the fact that you feel angry does not necessarily mean that you're sinful, and the fact that you've forgiven someone does not necessarily mean that you don't still feel bad about, you know, or feel. I mean, so in other words, it's very. Some people think because they still have a negative feeling about something terrible that someone did to them, that means they haven't forgiven them. Not true, mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. See, there's a saying, forgive and forget. And I tell people, well, if someone spilled a cup of coffee on my white habit, you know, I might be a little upset, you know, in the moment, but I would forget about it, you know, eventually. But, you know, if someone does something that deeply hurts you, you know, or wounds you, or wounds someone you love, you're not going to forget it. So you shouldn't expect to forget.
And it's also that emotion of anger itself is not sinful, but it's also important to look at whether that emotion is rooted in truth. Our emotions aren't always reflect the reality of the situation. And it's important, especially with those you live with, to analyze that emotion. So I live in a Dominican community with my brothers, and there's been times where I might feel angry over something, and then I'll think about it, and like, is this really something to be angry about? And I'll go, no, that's ridiculous. I totally, my emotion was not rooted in the reality of this situation. So I'm not going to follow that emotion. It was falsely prompted. So it's important to look at, like, is this an injustice against me that I should think about more, or is this something I should just disregard? when I feel that emotion of anger, because it's not always a reliable emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so related to that, I think, you know, Jesus tells us to love our enemies. But one thing I often tell people is that doesn't turn them into your friends. You know, love your enemies, that they're still your enemies, even though you love them, you know. And what that means is that you don't have to have warm and fuzzy feelings about them, right? Part of the picture here, I think, is realizing that when you nurse a grudge, when you nurse ill will towards another person, the person you're harming is yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that can help to kind of snap you out of it. You know, what am I really accomplishing, you know, with all of this negativity? And then you can try to focus on something else, something good.
That's, I think, a really important point, is that when you hold a grudge, it really robs you of your own freedom, and it doesn't do any good. Like, no situation has been resolved. No situation has gone from unjust to just because of a grudge. It never resolves the situation. And additionally, while you hold on to that grudge, it robs you of your own inner freedom, that your thoughts become controlled about what happened in the past. You think through the harm, you think through what could have been different or what you can do to seek revenge or bring about justice. But those are all fantasies. Those are things that prevent your mind from going to the good, to what good things God wants to give you, and your life becomes tied to a past event. And it really robs you of your inner peace and freedom. It does real damage to the soul. And so by forgiving people, you start to move under grace back towards freedom.
Yeah, and I tell people that forgiveness, it's kind of a project. It's not something you can accomplish in one day.
You're listening to The Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio today with Father Charles Schonk and Father Jerome Zeiler, two other vicars at St. Pat's, and our pastor, Father Stephen Alcott. We've been discussing common roadblocks that prevent us from going deeper in our spiritual life, prevent us from loving God more and more. We've been talking specifically about anger, resentment, unforgiveness, that whole nexus of issues. Any comments, Father Jerome?
There's a few sayings that I like to think about. One is, you know, resentment is like drinking poison and hoping someone else dies from it.
I'm going to steal that.
Yeah. And another one is, resentments are like stray dogs and cats. Like, if you feed them, they'll stick around. Like, if you don't feed them, they'll go away eventually. So that's the thing. Like, when holding on to resentments, what does that mean? How do we do that? Well, we keep thinking about it, and it's an act of the will. And by saying, I'm not going to let this go. Again, the feeling doesn't matter. You can be really angry with someone, but if you make an act of the will to love that person, then even though you may still really feel horrible, that's okay. You can make an act of the will to love that person. What does that mean? Well, one of the best ways to do it, and I heard this advice years ago, and I've tried it several times since then, and it's worked every time. And I've recommended it to others, and several have come back and said that really, really worked. Is, if you are really struggling with a resentment, every day pray for the person whom you're angry at or who you just can't let a resentment go. Pray for them specifically that they be blessed in every way that you yourself want to be blessed. It's going to be hard to do this at first, but you just, by an act of the will, you pray for them, and you mean it. That they be blessed in every way that you would like to be blessed, that's applicable to them. Do that every day for 2 weeks.
All right, there you go.
It worked.
The solution to anger. Moving on to another one, a frequent thing we hear, and I think it's endemic in our culture today, is gossip, of needlessly talking about other people, especially their faults behind their back, spreading rumors, spreading black images, hurting their reputations. This is, in many ways, it's consuming other people in our speech. And this is a offense against people's right to their own reputation. It's often with rumors contrary to the truth. So this is something that as Christians we should not engage in. But a lot of people find it very difficult. They get into habits of where they have a certain friend. What do? They gossip. And then if you think, well, gee, if we don't gossip, what are we going to talk about? You know, their habits of how to hold a conversation have become tilted towards gossip. So how do you fight that? How do you pull back from that and therefore help your own spiritual life?
One very practical thing is to realize that gossip tends to spread. It doesn't tend to stop, you know, mm-hmm. where you leave it. So I think if I'm talking about someone and then I imagine, like, you know, what if this gets back to the person I'm talking about and they hear that it was from me, or even imagine this person is standing right behind me, you know, when I'm saying this about them, would I still say it, you know, because it may well get back to them. Mm-hmm. So that's one way.
Mm-hmm. You could also think about, what does this person think about me? I mean, if someone were talking to me blackening someone else's name, I'd think about the person saying that gossip. Well, gee, what's this person saying about me when I'm not here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, so many conversations are permeated with negativity, you know, and I think that's one way in which we make ourselves feel better about ourselves. You know, critiquing other people, saying negative things about them is a covert way of exalting ourselves. You know, the implication is I'm better mm-hmm. than that person, right? So if you can realize that. And then, you know, there's a kind of subtle art to redirecting the course of a conversation, you know, just change the subject, you know, because once you start down that negative path, it just keeps going. So to just, you know, I know there's a story about St. Thomas More, who was, of course, a lawyer and had to deal with, you know, very worldly people all the time. And the story of, apparently, he would do this on occasion when a conversation started going down the wrong path towards negativity and gossip. He would say, well, say what you will, but I say that this is a good house and that the man who built it was a good man. You know, so it's the resolve to say something good. I'm going to say something good, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you could do that in specific ways. So if someone is gossiping about a mutual acquaintance, you could just say something good about that person. That usually stops gossip in your track. You say, like, well, however that may be, he did this, which was really good. And I, you know, I think that's a real mark in his favor. And then it usually stops people because they don't want to get into an argument. Like, right. Is he a good or bad person? They usually move the conversation somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I think in different circumstances, you can be more or less subtle about it. But I know I have in the past gossiped about someone, and I was in the presence of someone who I really respected, and the person just kind of looked down and showed pain that I was gossiping about someone. And, you know, they didn't chew me out or anything, but, like, it was a subtle thing. And then, yes, they, like, kind of subtly changed the conversation, and I never gossiped in the presence of that person again. You know, it was really... And I mean, and I think you can do that more or less subtly, depending on the circumstances, but that works.
there's an old Dominican who was famous for just, you know, it wasn't even necessarily gossip, but he would just say, speaking of the Red Sox, and no one was speaking of the Red Sox. You know? He would just say, you know, like, speaking of wow. such a whatever. And then that was his way of changing the conversation. So you can do it kind of in a funny way sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, these are the, that's all we have time for today, are these unfortunately, three various roadblocks. There's many other ways. Maybe we'll do a part two on this someday. But the key to all of these is to really have a plan, to stay close to Christ and rely on His grace, that we need His grace to fight any vice in our life. And often it can seem disquieting when suddenly you realize, like, oh no, I gossip all the time, or oh no, I do hold on to grudges. But that's actually a grace that God is allowing you to see. He's diagnosing what's holding you back from loving Him more. And so even if you feel that, oh no, I do that myself, then that's a grace God's giving you. And He'll always give you the grace along with that to help you to overcome that vice, to grow in virtue and grow closer to Himself. And so use that to advance in your own spiritual life. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Charles Schonk, also vicars at St. Patrick's, and our pastor, Father Stephen Alcott. Let us now end in prayer. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Sancti Spiritus, veni penaria. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of your faithful, grant that in the
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.